one, oh yeah. Recovery 101 is a sober show, the only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANEOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAPAFAIR.
We don't speak for HA or PA a lot, huh?
No.
Because you mentioned them twice in every run.
No. Sometimes I say HA again, though, after FAIR, which I didn't. I tried not to do this time.
Okay.
Ha ha ha.
So we're not speaking for any of them.
Yeah. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelley
and Mark. What's up?
Sweet.
Dude.
How's your day, Shelley?
Just lovely.
Just lovely?
Yes, I'm totally congested and yeah, I've got a headache over one eye because one of my sinuses is draining.
Shelley's about to do the pirate eye looking thing.
Arr.
Arr.
Put kind one hand sucks. Over her eye.
Debbie's asleep.
I'm not as dizzy as I was earlier, so the nausea is not as bad. So
oh, good. That's good.
Yeah.
We're not in danger of you hurling any time in the next
Yeah, place. Really.
You Perfect. Can tell what kind of drinker Debbie was by the position she can be in to fall asleep. Because, you know, people are drunk and fall asleep in any position. Debbie's like leaning over this chair.
Yeah, but she's kind of curled up, which means she was a leg on the floor in front of the commode drinker.
Yeah, I did that a couple times. I actually was so drunk one time. We were playing blackjack, and, you know, every time you hit and you miss, you had to take a shot. And I was so drunk and so sick, I'm playing from the floor in the bathroom. And my good friends, you know, I'll show 16 or 12, and they're like, I should hit that. And they bring me back a jack. So I've got 22. They're doing it on purpose. I don't even realize it. So I'm taking shots from the floor in the bathroom.
Nice.
It's just the sight of them drawing penises on my face with a magic marker.
Sharpie, huh? A little sharpie head going on.
And you know what? Right. I got to tell you, and not to make this sound racial in any way, although it's racial more towards whites, it seems that only white guys do that. What is that about? It's like you never see a bunch of black guys drawing dicks on each other's faces. It's always white fraternity guys or something. What the hell is up with that? Bastards.
Don't know either. Don't know.
Fortunately, I don't think that was a thing when we were drinking. I don't ever remember anybody doing that.
No.
I would have been right there with the pen, though, if they had been.
I think back then it was mostly sticking people's hands in buckets of water or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
To make them pee their pants or whatever.
Yeah, put your hand in a little dish of warm water. Yeah.
Awesome.
Does that work? Nobody ever did it.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It absolutely works.
Yeah.
Not that I would know. Well, you know what that means.
What?
Well, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze.
You're on a cord.
I'm on a cord.
Got the cord.
Get the hell off the goddamn cord.
Okay, let us see where we are now. If I can get my stupid water to balance without falling over. Okay. We are, I know.
Welcome to Recovery 101, Cirque du Soleil.
This one came out of Gainesville,
Florida.
Thank you. Sent in by Fran.
I could have never guessed that.
Shocker.
She always finds, you know, she's in Tennessee. Do we ever get stories from Tennessee? Not very often, but we get a lot from Florida.
Melody Bull, 33 years old.
Bull.
Yes. Was arrested. They were in the Winn-Dixie parking lot. Winn-Dixie's a grocery store for those people who don't know. And Melody Bull approached a woman and tried to carjack her. And the woman said, "No, my children need this car." Although I'm pretty sure the children weren't driving. So then Melanie Bull attacked the woman, tried to get her keys. The victim started screaming. Then the manager of the store came over and helped her. Then, for some unknown reason, and in the story, nowhere does it say why she needed a car, why she needed to carjack them, or if she was even high on anything. But she decided to take off with the Culligan water truck.
Hey, Culligan man.
Hey, apparently she needed a vehicle.
Yeah. She needed a vehicle. So she takes off in the Culligan water truck, which, why would the Culligan man have left the keys in the ignition? I don't know. But she wasn't very good at driving, and they had a clear path to find her because of all of the 5-gallon bottles that were strewn on the street, and
nice.
She drove away.
Perfect.
Kind of like Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah. So yes. That's what I was thinking, too.
Only they were
Hansel and Gretel of 5-gallon water bottles.
You
should send some of those out here to California. We're having a bit of a drought.
It's a little drier out here.
Send them to West Virginia. They can't even drink their water.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't it West Virginia where that's going on?
Something like that.
Chemical spill?
Almost heaven.
This one, the next story was sent in by Peter.
Peter?
Peter's one of our newer contributors.
Hey, Peter!
Peter?
Pete,
did
yes.
you say PETA?
Yes, he did.
Did you say PETA?
People for the Ethical
Treatment of Animals.
People for Eating Tasty Animals?
Yes.
Okay, so this is out of Mexico. Jose Rodrigo Arechiga Gamboa.
Whoa, four names. Oh, this guy's going to be big news right here.
Oh, yes. He is a drug kingpin. He is also otherwise known as El Chino Anthrax.
So, wait, give us the entire name, including the last part.
Jose Rodrigo Arechiga Gamboa El Chino Anthrax.
Wow, six names.
No, that's
six
seven.
Names. This guy is as bad as you could get.
Well, not anymore. He was arrested in Amsterdam.
In Amsterdam?
Yes, he was trying to flee under a false name from South America.
How'd you know which name was false? He has all of them.
He is what they call a top enforcer for the Sinaloa cartel.
Oh.
He's wanted on drug charges in Southern California.
He's a badass.
Yes, he's a badass. And they, you know, he's been moving around. He's a mover, he's a shaker. He's been flying under the radar, except for his addiction to social media. Oh. Yes, dumb Facebook criminal of the week.
Yay.
What did he post? Here I am at my hotel.
Yes, he's posting pictures of himself at various hotels, at parties with other people. I mean, it wasn't even a breadcrumb trail. It was like,
here's a photograph of
hey,
Brian
look
Stain.
At Klieg lights. Hey, look at me.
Yes, it was like all the evidence the FBI could ever want.
It's like, hey, guess what, guys? Tomorrow I'm going to go stay at the Hilton.
Yes,
in Mayorga.
So they just, when the FBI decided, okay, we've got enough evidence, we want to pick him up, they noticed on his Twitter account that he said he was boarding a flight for Amsterdam.
They have extradition. They swooped and scooped.
Yep. So he will not be their chief enforcer anymore.
Well, he will be for their penal system.
And, yeah. and for people that think the NSA doesn't look at your stuff.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Now, Bill sent this story in. I actually called this one last week, but we didn't end up using it. The meow meow. Did we go through that? The meow meow?
No.
Is this a cat food commercial?
No.
Meow 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 meow.
It's
meow,
a
meow,
new
meow,
synthetic
meow,
drug.
Meow, 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 no, meow. You didn't do it. There's a synthetic drug called meow meow?
Meow meow, yes.
Is it made out of meow mix?
No.
Is there cat piss in it?
No, but it is. I'm trying to find where the name for it. It's similar to meth. It's called mephedrone. M-E-P-H, not M-E-T-H. That's the scientific name. It's another designer drug. They keep making these synthetic designer drugs because they're not illegal yet.
Right.
Right.
And every time the FDA schedules one of them, they just make another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they get worse and worse.
What's this one do?
This particular one drove a 19-year-old British college student to go crazy, take off his clothes.
This one drives?
He went crazy. He stabbed his mother, not fatally.
She was home.
Then leaned out of the upper story window, bedroom window, and whacked off his own willy.
Ow.
With the same knife. Then he leaned out of the window so that the blood could pour from his wounds from the second story. Now, this kid, who he just barely started dabbling in drugs, He admitted that later on. He's actually a high marks student and is considered by people to be, you know, on the road to going somewhere in life.
Not anymore.
He's going there without his dick.
Well, no, they were able to reattach it successfully. Oh. At least, I don't know what successfully means. I mean, do they, like, reattach it and then wait for it to heal a little bit and then show him a Playboy or something? I mean...
It means he can urinate
hey,
with
well,
it.
What's his name? What's his name?
Did porn, yeah.
Yeah.
Lorena Bobbitts.
Yeah, he got it cut off, and then he went and did porn to show that it still worked.
And tried to get back together with her.
That
yeah,
was
you know what Tom
bizarre.
Likas said? Yeah. You know that she was the best piece of ass ever.
Yeah.
Because she cut off his willy, and he still wanted to get back with her.
Yikes.
That's just a special kind of crazy.
So apparently here's yet another one, kids. Stay away from Meow Meow unless you want to be hanging out of a second-story window cutting your wee-wee off.
If you Meow Meow and Crocodile together, will you cut it off and it'll just, like, rot away?
Probably.
Probably. Holy crap. We have another one from Fran out of
Florida!
Newport Richey. A lot of stuff happens in Newport Richey.
It's either that or Manatee County. From Manatee City.
Apparently. 30-year-old Kayla Shavers was arrested on two counts of child neglect.
Mm.
She left her six-month-old baby and her nine-year-old, so both of her kids, she has a baby and a nine-year-old, she left them in the car and went hog hunting. Now,
she was looking for a bike?
And this was in the wee hours of the morning. I don't know exactly when they left, but it was still dark, and the low temperature that night was 38 degrees. In about 30 minutes after being left in the car, the boy used his mother's cell phone to call 911 because he thought it would be warmer for the baby in a police car rather than sitting in his mother's car.
Wow.
He's a hero.
Good shot, kid.
It was 38 degrees in the car. The boy was shivering, and the baby had blue lips. Now, when she walked out of the woods, you know, of course, they put the kids in the car, got them warmed up and everything, waited for her to come back because the boy told her she went hog hunting. She came out of the woods and reportedly got very angry with the cops. You know, you're interfering with my parenting. She said she was hunting the hogs because they wrecked her property and that she was actually nearby in case the kids needed her.
Well, yeah. We could tell how nearby you were when we showed up with our lights and stuff on and you didn't even come over to the car.
Yeah. Yikes.
Damn. Smart kid, though.
Yeah.
Of course, smart kid going to be living in foster care now.
Yeah.
Might get an occasional visitation from mom.
Supervised.
Actually, that's going to be, you know what, that's going to be shit for that kid for a while. Because he's going to think it's all his fault.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's something this isn't really a story, but it is kind of a story.
We'll make it one.
I want to know who the heck names this crap. They're talking about the polar vortex, which apparently is coming back beginning next week.
Okay, what is the polar vortex, first of all?
It is a circular, like, pit of extremely dense cold air that sits over an area for days and days.
It's that crap that made it 40 below in Ohio 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and basically freezes everybody's fannies off. Now, what I want to know is this used to be called, and it even says so in the story. It says previously known as a cold front. Now we have to call it a polar vortex. Do we have to name everything after gum? Everything? Do we have to come up with these cheesy media names for everything?
Yeah, what was wrong with cold front?
Yeah. I don't know. But now it's polar vortex. So it's coming back next week.
Just in time for Super Bowl.
Yes. New York will be in the single digits.
Yes.
As well
as
most of...
That's not as bad as it was last time.
As well as most of the Midwest will be in the negative digits.
Yes.
While Florida, Texas, and California will hover around 70 degrees.
87 here a couple days ago.
Yes, it was.
You know what? I'll tell you what. We're standing here today, and I'm thinking it's January, what is it, 19th?
Yeah.
January 19th. I go to take the trash can out by the curb. And next door, in the backyard, there are girls in bikinis. And I'm thinking, it reminds me of a thing I posted on Facebook. It's got all these cars that have, like, just ice frozen all over them. It goes, I love winter. I love watching it on TV.
Yes.
From my home in California.
Yes.
Because it's not that cold here.
We had a little shaker the other day, though.
We did. Actually, Courtney, my daughter, called me and said, "Did you feel that earthquake?" I said, "Nope."
When Neither. Was it?
I don't
Wednesday
remember,
morning, Tuesday night.
It was like if a big truck drove by, one of those kind.
Well, see, the problem is, unless I'm at work, because at work, when there's a tremble of any kind, I know it because the building sounds, certain things happen in the building, you know there's an earthquake. And over the years, I know this. But if I'm anywhere else anymore, unless it's actually a serious earthquake, I have no idea because my fibromyalgia actually makes me slightly off balance. Mm-hmm. And right now, I have a sinus thing going on, so my inner ear is all messed up. So I just think it's me.
Yeah. It was like a 4.5. I didn't even notice.
I got to really feel something to know it. Because believe me, I love earthquakes. Yeah. I love them. It's like going on roller coasters. It's like I love it.
I hate them.
It's such an adventure. Because you have no idea, and then it's here, and it's gone, before you really realize what it was. I mean, you kind of, by the time you think we had an earthquake, we had an earthquake.
Unless it's a big one.
Yeah. Anything over, it's got to get to north of 6, though.
Because I remember when I was on my honeymoon, or not my honeymoon, well, the first day after I got married to my previous wife, we're in the hotel, and there's a whatever it was out in Big Bear and Lancaster.
Yeah, it was Big Bear Landers.
7 point, and it rolled for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was my wedding night.
So
I looked over at her, and I said, "Did the earth move for you, too?"
Oh, jeez. Like, I needed to know that. Thank you so much.
She said yes.
Okay. Oh, I'm so grossed out now. Ugh. Actually, that was the earthquake when, after it happened, I sprung out of bed, ran in, turned on the television, and my ex, my husband at the time, said, "What, that wasn't bad?" And I said, "No, that was a big quake." And he said, "No, that was like a 5. I said, "No, that was a really big quake. The bed was moving." And he said, "The bed's on casters." I said, "No, it's not."
Oh.
And he said, "Oh, wow, that was a big quake." I said, "Yeah." Because
see,
we'd taken the wheels off the bed.
She doesn't want to hear about my adventure, but she's talking about her and her ex in the bed
with no
casters.
I wasn't talking
about
getting nasty with anybody.
You said the bed was moving with no casters.
Holy vey frijoles. Okay, wait.
Damn, he's my hero now.
Jeez, old
Actually,
Pete.
Right after that quake, I called the place we're supposed to be going to Big Bear for a week. We've got a timeshare. We call them. They say, "No problem. Everything's good here." Then there's another quake like an hour later or something, and it's like as big as the first one. And I look on the news. It says epicentered in Big Bear Lake. And I'm like, "Ah, shit." I call. I can't even get a hold of the place.
Yeah.
I call the place where you can call to find out, you know, if you can transfer to another timeshare. And I'm like, "I need to find out about this place." They go, "Yeah, apparently that place is closed." And I'm like, "Well, I'm supposed to be on my honeymoon. Can you find me another place?" And they're like, "You need a really good reason to be able to transfer to another place." I'm like, "How about the place is destroyed because of an earthquake?" And they're like, "Oh, really?" And you could hear people in the background, "Oh, yeah, California, yeah, big earthquake." And I'm like, "Yeah, if I can drive there within a day, I'll take whatever you have."
Yeah, exactly.
They gave me the Lawrence Welk Resort.
That's
cool. I said, "Lawrence Welk?
That's fine.
The champagne bubble music guy? The accordion guy?" And they're like, "Yeah." And they go,
"And a one.
They
and
go,
a two.
Do you play golf?" They got a five-star golf course. I said, "I don't play golf." They said, "Do you play tennis?" They've got world championship tennis courts. I said, "I don't play tennis." And she goes, "Well, the rooms are really nice." Said, okay.
Good enough.
Good enough. Escondido, by the way.
Yes.
Went down there, took a birthday watermelon. They don't
That's
do
right.
cakes. They did watermelons.
Did we kill enough time to end the news?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we could if you didn't want to do this next
story. Oh, I'll do this next one, Shelley. I know you have your heart set.
Well, not really, but this one's also in
Florida.
But I found this one on FARC. Daniel Espinoza, 18 years old, was arrested for stealing more than 850 pairs of underwear from Victoria's Secret.
Wow, that is a tranny waiting to happen.
He did it over several visits. They caught him on the last visit. And then when his home was searched, they found all the other underwear.
Cross-dressed much there, Anthony?
He claimed they were his.
He wasn't even trying to sell them or anything. He just was stockpiling women's underwear.
He watched the fashion show and it drove him out of his mind.
Well, apparently, Daniel Espinoza lives with his parents. He has no money in the bank and has lived in South Florida all his life. The judge was quoted as saying, thank you at the end of the hearing, but don't go back to Victoria's Secret.
The judge at the end of the hearing is like, you got some serious problems there, boy.
Really? And that, my excellent friend, is friends, is the end of the Boozy News.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back. Welcome back, Shelly. Shelly's busy coughing. Welcome back, Mark.
Your dreams are your ticket out.
Shout out
to New Way Foundation.
And Sober College.
At selfwillhappens.com.
If it's still there.
.com. So, we have a topic. Damned if I can remember what it is.
You were the one who came up with it.
Oh, May, December.
Relationships.
Rebellion.
We all got them. We all want them. What do we do with them? Thank you, Jimmy Buffett.
Wow. Shelly's a, what do they call him? Parrothead. I'm
into
surprised.
The left, into the right.
I'm surprised you're not a stoner.
You're the only game in town.
I'm surprised you're not a stoner, because everybody that goes to Jimmy Buffett concerts is a stoner.
Oh, yeah, the Coral Reefer Band. And, in fact, the smell of marijuana makes me so nauseated.
How do you
I used to go, and I would take, like, a washcloth or whatever, and I'd spray a bunch of like my regular body mist in it, so that I would just put that like to my face when the clouds would waft by.
I would think that would be through the entire show.
Pretty much. There are a few songs like Come Monday where everybody quite settles down for a little while, but you know.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but it's the party out in the parking lot beforehand that's the real fun.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the Coral Reefer Band. We're packed into these stadiums. I used to go every year to the concert every year for like 10 years.
I've been to a few.
My first one was Florida's, and that was in 1985, I think.
Yeah.
And the security guards don't even try to control the marijuana usage.
Oh, no.
They don't even bother.
No. They're not allowed to.
Yeah.
I've never been to a Jimmy Buffett concert.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's
fun. You get there about noon. And then you wake everybody up about 7. Who have all passed out around 5.
See, you had more fun at the month than I did. I actually just went for the show.
Oh, no, I went for the party. I went for the party with 8-9 years of sobriety.
Ah.
It was really
fun.
See,
we used to go to concerts like metal shows, and you don't show up until about the second act. But then you're up for 3 days after that. There's no passing out after that.
Yeah.
It, unless you've just completely run out of cocaine or speed or whatever you're doing, then there's pass out time.
Yeah, and I didn't do that when I was out there. I never ran out. Didn't run out.
By the way,
what?
How should we approach this topic? I'm sure people are enthralled with Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band, and
they may be more enthralled with that than the topic by the time we're done.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, how should we go about it?
I don't know. It's your topic.
Yeah, but we amended it.
We did.
See, my part of the topic was going to be the May-December romances in the program. And what I mean by that is we have a few friends lately who have some time or who don't have any time that are hooked up with people of the opposite sex that do. So it's kind of strange. We know someone, and I'll leave the names completely out, but we know someone. She has over a decade. She's dating a guy who's got like 50 days. I know someone else who doesn't have a lot of time. She's got like 3 or 4 months, and she's dating a guy with 9 years. Then I saw a guy on Facebook, his young, fairly young daughter who's like 19. I mean, this is May, December, no matter how you slice it, because she's like 19, he's 56 or something. She's 30 days sober, and he's 25 years sober. And I was just wondering...
Is there an issue with this?
Well, if you think about it, here's people that have been around the program for a long time. Mm-hmm. Everyone that's been around for a long time has not only heard that you shouldn't be dating in your first year, they've probably warned other people about it.
Yeah,
and then they turn around and do it themselves. Why?
Well, wait. So they turn around and do what themselves?
Date someone that's brand new.
Yeah, but they're not brand new. So they're following, they know, directions for themselves.
But they know that if someone's going to go out, it's going to be the person probably with the least time.
It's a selfish program, Bruce.
So they're saved, but they're condemning the other person to almost certain death.
It's a selfish program. It's just how it goes.
There's Mark.
Shelly's put her microphone down. She's refusing to pick it up.
I'm not refusing. I was just putting it down because my hands hurt.
Oh.
So what do you think, Shelly? Why would people do that?
Because they're a special kind of stupid.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Ooh.
Wow. I hope none of them are listening to this show.
No, I don't mean it like that. I mean, well.
Yes, you do.
It depends on which, because, okay. Somebody who is newer in the program and hooks up with somebody who has a lot of time. If the person that's new is really motivated to work on their recovery, that may work for them. But on the other hand, what about the person with time? Why in the world would they want to saddle themselves with somebody who is for sure going to be drama?
Sex.
Yeah, but there's, you know, sex is like socks. There's tons of it about.
Sex is like socks? You can find a bunch of them in the washer.
They want a new pair of socks.
I think Shelly's been sitting on the washing machine.
I can't get up on the washing machine. I just can't imagine why if you've got to a point in your program where you've got some serenity going and you've worked the steps and you're working with others, and then suddenly you decide, well, my life just doesn't have enough catastrophe in it. I think I'll go pick up a newcomer.
Yeah, because that would that ends to your serenity.
Yeah, why?
Well, okay, I've got a guy that I sponsor. He's coming up on 9 months. When he had about 4 months, he had asked me to sponsor him. His sponsor fired him.
Nice. Why?
Because he was upset because he was hanging out with this girl once in a while. And so he asked me to sponsor him. I told him fine. And when he had about 7 months, he came and said, I'm really bothered because I kept telling my old sponsor I was not in a relationship. I was not. And he kept telling me I couldn't be in a relationship. I said, so your sponsor set you up to lie to him? Because we do what we do, you know. Yeah, I went out with her a couple times. We had fun, so we went out again, started sleeping together, started hanging out a little more. Okay, that's kind of a relationship.
Yeah.
But yet, we tell newcomers, if you're in that situation, you have to lie about it.
Well, we tell newcomers not to get in that situation to start with.
Yeah, because we're all so smart.
No, well, it's 75 years of program experience says it doesn't really work.
Well,
it's not a lot of if you look at the number of people that successfully culminate a relationship from when they're new to like having multiple years compared to the number of people that just crash and burn, it's pretty dramatically different.
Well, if you look at the number of people who get into relationships that don't work.
Well, that's everybody.
In general, as opposed to relationships that do work, I don't think our numbers are that skewed from the regular public out there.
Well, except for the regular public doesn't have the added thing of going out crashing terribly and getting loaded. That's usually the big difference. Because, yeah, lots of relationships crash.
But you're going to do that anyway if you do it.
Yeah, but if you've got more time, you're not as likely to go out and
so
get loaded.
The guy with the 25 years probably isn't going to get loaded over the relationship with the newcomer.
Right, but the other person will.
But they probably would have anyway. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I'm going to say it because that doesn't really work. I mean, yeah, sure. The one person will say, someone told me one time that two newcomers that get together are like two wet noodles trying to make a rope.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really work that well. Then if you've got someone with time and someone with no time, you've got half a good rope, and the person that's the half a good rope probably going to be okay. The other person probably not. You got two people with a bunch of time, you probably have a pretty strong rope. Even if you break up, you'll probably both still stay sober. Shelly?
You all done now?
Yeah, she can't wait. Look, she's chomping at the bit right now.
I tell Spotsies, because one of the first things that always comes up is, I met this guy. I'm like, oh, geez.
I met him. It's not just the guy.
I always tell him every single time. I am not a relationship counselor. I am here to take you through the steps. Whatever you're going to do with your coochie is on you. And then I invariably get the, well, but what would you do? Well, just tell me what to do. And I keep saying, no, you know, you need to make these decisions for yourself. You're a big girl. And they keep bugging me and they keep bugging me. And so finally I say, you know what? I don't think it's a good idea. You need to focus on your recovery. And then they immediately go out, hook up with the guy, call me in tears. And I'm like, I told you not to. And they said, well, you said it was a suggestion. And I said, that's right, because I'm not a relationship counselor, and this is why. Because you were going to do it anyway. You were looking for somebody to co-sign it. So having said that, it suddenly occurs to me, we've spent a zillion years telling people don't get any relationships in the first year.
Yeah.
We've turned this into the freaking forbidden fruit, so that's the first thing they all run off and do.
That's right.
Yeah.
So guess what? From now on, go for it. I don't care.
However, being that the topic is, why do people who have time, who have told people many times this is a bad idea, then they themselves turn
it's
around
the
and do it?
It's the forbidden fruit.
Because this will be different.
I will save them. Captain Save-A-Ho. I'm just saying, it's forbidden fruit for either in both directions. The one who's doing the 13-stepping, I've never really dated a newcomer. This could be exciting. You know, it's forbidden fruit. I'm not supposed to be. I know I'm not supposed to be doing this, but I must. I am in love. Oh. And then for the newcomer, it's like, oh, he's my guru. He has so much time. It's really good for my recovery. You know,
he's going to give me a serenity injection. He's going to share his experience, strength, and length with me.
I know my sponsor says not to, but I must do it. I am in love. You know what? I'm going to stop telling people not to get relationships because they do it anyway.
Oh, I tell my guys, get in many relationships as you can your first year
because
there's a lot of growth and pain.
Motivator.
Yes.
You're either gonna grow or you're gonna go.
And that's
one or the other.
That's true. So why stop it?
It's official. AA is now a dating service. Go for it.
You hang out at the club for a couple hours?
It is. I mean,
it is a dating service.
What do they call it? Who's on
rooms.
Who?
Zooming who? Who's zooming who at the 502?
Yeah, who's on who at the 502?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just one of these people is a good friend of ours. And I remember I see her before this meeting. This guy is hitting on her hard. Hey, I'm thinking I should have your number and blah, blah. And she's like, oh, my God. So then we're in the meeting, and the guy in the chair says he's got 45 days. And I looked at her, and her eyes got like saucers. 45 days.
45. Yeah.
By the next time I saw her, he's got his arm around her at a meeting. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, and I asked her, I said, did you talk to your sponsor about this? And she said, yeah, I did. I mean, but didn't elaborate, so...
And you know what? The thing is, guy, nice guy. Talk to him a few times. I mean, he's a nice guy and everything.
Seems motivated.
You know? So maybe it's one of those things, you know, maybe it's one of those wait and sees. I just, whenever it's involves somebody new.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I found out to be careful because.
Hard enough for them to stay sober, period.
Sometimes I get sarcastic a little bit.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
No.
Once in a while I do. And I made a comment to a sponsee about, you know, if he really wanted to get in a relationship, he should go to the young people's meetings and find some girl who was a newcomer because he could really help her program. Well,
he immediately did.
He met this girl with about 60 days, and she was with her sponsor when he relayed what his sponsor told him to go do.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So it's like...
So her sponsor called his sponsor and said, what the fuck?
It's like, you know, he goes, yeah, she doesn't think much of you. Just she doesn't know me. Oh, I told her who you were.
Oh.
Okay.
Ouch.
And I go to meetings with one eye open.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, I kind of have I can't even talk anymore. I'm so congested. In general, I think it's a bad idea. However, for our young friend that has moved away and is hooked up with the guy with years, mm-hmm. and she's got months, I think it actually may work to her advantage. Because we constantly told her, don't get in a relationship. Because she always picked losers who had no time, who kept going out. She'd follow them right off the end of the track.
The bridge.
And he doesn't seem like that, and he's actually treating her like a human being.
Well, they're actually dating.
So, yeah, going out
they're
on
not
dates.
Banging, they're dating.
She's never gone out on dates before.
No.
He's actually treating her like a human being, and that's a new experience for her.
She showed up at a meeting one time. And she hadn't been around in a while. She had like 1 day, 2 days. Immediately hooks up with my buddy Mark. Mark, who barely had any time. Like day one, they're like a couple. They were a couple while they were still at the meeting. I'm like, wow. So she is doing it differently. So it cheers yeah. to her for that.
So this is she's doing it differently. And I'm hoping that works out because...
Although the guy's an NA Nazi. And I don't mean that.
I don't care.
I don't mean anything bad about NA people. But he's like one of those guys. He's like... He doesn't see any reason for Cocaine Anonymous. It's a worthless program. He doesn't know why anyone would go to AA because it's one program, one disease. And I'm like, really? So you want the alcoholics and the marijuana users and Narcotics Anonymous? Why is it Narcotics Anonymous if you want everybody in there?
I don't know.
But that's another show.
That's
another show for another time.
So, Shelley, what are your final words on the subject?
I'm not your babysitter. you know, you're going to do what you're going to do. You're a human being. We're all human beings. But if you actually want to stay sober and you're not just there because somebody pushed you into it, if you've actually hit your bottom, you'll probably end up listening to your sponsor who will tell you to focus on your recovery.
Mark.
What?
Final words.
Foundations are built better with concrete than condoms.
I hate you so much right now.
Why?
Because you always have good last words.
You need to stop thinking of these awesome things.
My final words are, I'm going to go on record right now and say, I told you so. Because people with time should know better. And... More power to the newcomers that are trying to get the old-timers, because at least they're smart and going for an old-timer. They're not going for another newcomer.
That's true.
Boy meets girl in detox.
That's right. Mark, who's our friend back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
Where
you just fine.
Awesome.
Publication online. You can get it emailed
to
you.
Fine. Up insecure, neurotic, and emotional.
That's right. You get emailed to you, you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. If you have a recovery home or a sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce, and he will send you some hard copies to strew about the facility.
And you can also bless you. And you can also get a franchise.
Yeah.
Somebody out here did. We need to talk to that person, actually.
Okay.
Shelley, people are listening to the show, the really big shoe.
Anyway, you listen to the show, thank you very much. We really appreciate you listening.
You sound like you're about to fall asleep.
I know. Where was I? Oh, but if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, and sorry.
Wow.
I'm having a little trouble here. Click on one of the shows. Click like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, you've been counted. Thank you. It helps us with our metrics. If you are not, you will have the opportunity to become a member. You should. It's fun,
free,
whatever.
It's free and for fun.
Yes, exactly. You can listen to old shows. You can like old shows. You can leave topics and comments. If you leave topic suggestions, please leave them in the top show. So Bruce sees them easily. I'm fading fast
show
here,
so.
Dude. You can also follow us. That will give you automatic updates when we post the show. And you can put us on your playlist for all your hot party needs. Whoop, whoop.
Awesome. If you are Facebook friendly, you can follow or like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. If you want to be a little more incognito, you can join the Recovery 101 group, which is a closed group. If you petition to join, they will let you. And you can interact with some people from the show and people that send in boozy news and stuff. If you want to get involved in the Recovery 101 convention, get in touch with us somehow on Facebook or through email, and we'll start to put this thing together. We've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We certainly don't. Doint?
Doint.
Don't. Don't.
We know what you mean.
Shelly, who's the lead on music guy?
Sean Van Domlin.
Sean Van Domlin from cppilotmusic.com. Everybody try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out. Da, 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 I said we're out.
Yeah, I should take care of you.
Oh, all right. Bye.